Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 39. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu is thrown by the officers into a mud pit after he encourages the people to surrender. A Cushi servant of the king saves Yirmiyahu with sensitivity and at great risk to his life. Tzidkiyahu meets with Yirmiyahu and asks him advice. Yirmiyahu tells him to surrender if he wants to live and to save the city. The parak ends with Tzidkiyahu rejecting this advice and Yirmiyahu still locked up in prison. This parak tells us how everything that Yirmiyahu had said came to pass. The goal of this parak is not to give us a history of what happens, as we can find these details in Sefer Melachim and also in the last parak of Yirmiyahu. These parakim give us insight into the character flaws of the people and the devastation that came from their choices. For so many years, the Nevi'i Sheker had told the people that things would get better, and they believed them. But now, when it is clear that the Nevi'i Sheker were lying, they stayed stuck in their stubbornness and refused to listen to Yirmiyahu, begging them to surrender. This parak repeats the story from Sefer Melachim about how Tzidkiyahu fled and then was caught. The parak begins with some historical background. The siege began in Tzidkiyahu's 9th year, in the 10th month in Teves. In the 11th year, in the 4th month in Tammuz, on the 9th of the month, a breach was made in the city walls. There's a lot of discussion in the Gemara and the Medrash and the Rishonim as to the exact dates of what happened during this time. The Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 9th of Av, 1 month later. We fast on the 17th of Av to commemorate the dates that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Some say that we only fast to commemorate the dates of the second Beis HaMikdash, but this happened on the 9th of Tammuz during the first Beis HaMikdash. Others say that the wall had an opening made on the 9th of Tammuz by the people who were starving, but the army did not enter the city until the 17th of Tammuz. Verse 3 lists the officers from Bavel who enter through the middle gate in the wall of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Landy, in Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, compared the names in this pasuk to inscriptions on ancient Babylonian documents called the Babylonian Prism that list Nebuchadnezzar's officers. And he found that the name Nergal Sharetzer is listed as having the position of a Samgar. The name Nvusar Sechim, who had the position of Rav Saris, was listed on another artifact housed in the British Museum. The third person mentioned in the pasuk is Nergal Sharetzer, who held the position of Rav Mag, which is a senior official. These were the most prominent people on the scene. The siege was taking a long time, so Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan were camped in Rivla, where they would not be subject to disease and danger, like happened to Sennacherib, who died before they could conquer Yerushalayim. Chazal say that the officers entering through this middle gate was a painful punishment. This was the gate where the Talmidei Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, sat and decided halacha. On the 17th of Tammuz, it was turned into a gathering place for Babylonian officers. Tzidkiyahu and his royal guard saw that the city walls were breached and they realized that their end had come. Tzidkiyahu and his soldiers escaped from the city via Derech Gan HaMelech, by way of the king's garden, B'Sha'ar Bein HaChomosayim, via the gate between the two walls, Vayetze Derech HaArava, and he went out by way of the Arava. There was a gate in the middle of two walls that led to a tunnel that took him away from the city and out to Yericho. The entrance of the gate was obscured by the garden. The king had prepared this escape route. Perhaps, whenever the kings had debated with Yirmiyahu, they always had this escape plan in the back of their minds, and so they never took his warnings seriously because they always felt they would be able to run away. The army realized that Tzidkiyahu had escaped, and so they pursued him, and they caught up with him in Yericho. Rashi says that Hashem wanted Tzidkiyahu to be captured, so he placed a deer to walk on the roof of the cave outside the city. The constant soldiers chased after the deer as sport, and they were standing there as Tzidkiyahu emerged from the cave's entrance. It would have been unlikely that the army would have caught Tzidkiyahu there, but Hashem arranged it to fulfill the nevuah of Yechezkel that says that Hashem would spread a net on him. The army brought Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar, who was in Rivla, which was in Hamas. Rivla was an ancient fortress that was in Lebanon. Archaeological evidence has stone carvings and etchings that say that Nebuchadnezzar set up a base camp there where he managed the wars in the region. Verse 5. Nebuchadnezzar addresses Tzidkiyahu. Vayedaber ito mishpatim, and he spoke with him harsh judgments. Nebuchadnezzar challenged Hizkiyahu and asked him how could he rebel and went against his promise not to rebel. This pasuk is hinting to a story in Divrei Hayamim. Jehoiakim was an ally of Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar deposed him and installed his son Jehoiachin. 3 months and 10 days later, Nebuchadnezzar's advisors convinced him that Jehoiachin, as part of the family line of Jehoiakim, would be untrustworthy. Nebuchadnezzar took Yoshiahu's son Matanya, renamed him Tzidkiyahu, and installed him as king. He made him swear in the name of Hashem that he would not rebel. Tzidkiyahu kept his promise despite heavy pressure from anti-Babel forces and other kings in the region. Finally, he decided to rebel. This led to Nebuchadnezzar coming to put down the revolt. Nebuchadnezzar harshly condemned Tzidkiyahu for rebelling, for both violating the treaty and going against the swear he made in the name of Hashem. The Medrash tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was there with Tzidkiyahu and his sons and insisted they were liable for death because they had disgraced Hashem's name and because they had rebelled against him. Father and son begged Nebuchadnezzar to kill them first. Verse 6. Vayishchat melech Bavel es b'nei Tzidkiyahu b'rivla le'inav. The king of Bavel slew the sons of Tzidkiyahu in Rivla before his eyes. Nebuchadnezzar wanted Tzidkiyahu to know that his reign was over and there was no hope for his future. Nebuchadnezzar also killed Kol Chorei Yehuda, all the nobles of Yehuda. Rashi says that these nobles were the Sanhedrin, who had permitted Tzidkiyahu to go against the promise he made in the name of Hashem, and so they received a harsh punishment as well. After Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu witness this horror, he blinded him and bound him in heavy chains around his feet to bring him to Bavel. The Chida says that Tzidkiyahu was blinded because he caused the Sanhedrin, who are called the eyes of the nation, to be killed. The Gemara in Sota says that Tzidkiyahu was too great in his own eyes. He was arrogant. His pride never let him surrender, and that was the reason for being blinded. The pasuk relates, verse 8, Vezbeis hamelech vezbeis ha'am sarfu hakasdim ba'ish, vez chomos yushlaim nasatsu. And the Kasdim burned the king's house and the house of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Yerushalayim. Rashi says the home of the nation were shuls. These evil people could not leave anything of beauty left in Yerushalayim, as Hashem had said would happen. The Beis HaMikdash would not be burned until Nebuchadnezzar arrived. Rav Breuer said that it is impossible that the Pasuk would have ignored the burning of the Beis Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, the Beis Ha'am, the house of the people, was referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The people had divorced the Beis HaMikdash from anything having spiritual meaning, and so it was left as a mere house of the nation, a cultural artifact, which is a note of accusation against the people in the time of the destruction. Anyone who survived the battle, any deserters, and any people from the rest of the cities of Yehuda were not killed and were exiled by Nebuzaradan, who is called the Rav Tavachin. This literally means the head cook, but it is a euphemism for the head executioner who was going to take the Jewish people to Bavel. Only the poorest of the poor were left. These were the people who were not only poor materially. No one had money at this point. They were all devastated in the siege, and they were all being taken as slaves to Bavel. But these people were emotionally fragile and could not and would not rebel. Nebuzaradan left them behind in Yehuda and gave them vineyards and fields. He did not give them the permission to plant proper crops, but only to make wine. He could confiscate the properties at any time. The people are being moved about and sent into exile or settled in Yehuda. Nebuchadnezzar gives Nebuzaradan instructions as to how to treat Yirmiyahu. Verse 12. Kachenu ve'inecha sim alav. Take him and look after him. Chazal say that Nebuchadnezzar is explicitly saying, look after him, but no one else. Don't take care of anyone else. And that Nebuzaradan should not take him with any force, but he should persuade Yirmiyahu to listen, as the word kach is used very often in the Torah to mean take with words, encourage. V'al tas lo me'umara, don't do him any harm. It would be okay to harm anyone else, just not Yirmiyahu. Ki'im kasher yedaber elecha kein aseimo. But do to him what he says you should do to him, but don't listen to anyone else. Nebuzaradan and his officers went and got Yirmiyahu and take him to his house to live. He was free to come and go as he wanted. Chazal tell us, in exchange between Yirmiyahu and Nebuzaradan. Yirmiyahu sees a long line of men with chains around their necks. He picks up a collar and puts it on his own neck. Nebuzaradan questions him, why is he so upset? What he predicted came true. Is he a Navi Sheker who didn't believe his own words? Was he trying to get Nebuzaradan killed for disobeying Nebuchadnezzar? Or was he a masochist who liked to suffer? Nebuzaradan was not going to allow Yirmiyahu to get hurt. The officers take Yirmiyahu out of the Chatzar HaMatarah and give him over to the control of Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan. Gedaliah ben Achikam had defected to the Bavlim, as Yirmiyahu had said he should, and so when the city was captured, he was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to be the governor over the poor that were left. The Perek returns to a nevuah Yirmiyahu received while he was still locked up in the Chatzar HaMatarah when Hashem speaks to him. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go to the Eved Melech HaKushi, the Kushite servant of the king, who Mitzudas David says is the one who saved him from the mud pit. And he should tell him, verse 16, Hinini mevi es tivarai el hahira zos lera'a velo letova. Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good. The Malbim says that until now, everything bad that had happened to the people had been for a positive purpose, so that maybe they would do tshuva. And so Hashem could do positive things for them. So it was bad, but it was good. Now, what is happening is the fulfillment of the decree for complete destruction. Yirmiyahu had given one last warning, and after that, when Tzidkiyahu didn't listen, the city needed to be razed. It was only a bad decree. V'hayu lifanecha bayomahu, they shall be before you on that day. No one will escape from this bad. And even so, verse 17, Vitalticha bayomahu, I will save you, Mr. Kushite's servant, on that day. This man had many people to be afraid of. Tzidkiyahu's men were angry with him for saving Yirmiyahu, and the Kastim would come into the city and attack without regard to who he is. The Das Sofrim says that the Kushite man was in greater danger because he could be targeted because of racism. Hashem promises that he would not be harmed by either the officers of Tzidkiyahu who resent him or the soldiers who he fears. This man would have special hashgacha, special providential treatment, and would be able to flee from the chaos of war and not be killed. Verse 18, Vaisalcha nafshecha l'shalal kivatachtevi. Your life shall be what you run away with, because you have put your trust in me. This man trusted in Hashem and feared Hashem. He risked his life because he cared more about doing the right thing than being afraid of people. This stands in sharp contrast to Tzidkiyahu and the other people who cared more about what others thought than Hashem. Because the servant trusted in Hashem, he will not need to fear other people. In this perek, the walls of Yerushalayim are breached, and Tzidkiyahu escapes through a tunnel. He is captured, brought before Nebuchadnezzar, who kills his sons, the Sanhedrin, and then gouges out Tzidkiyahu's eyes. He is brought to Bavel in chains. Nebuzaradan, under Nebuchadnezzar's command, takes Yirmiyahu away from the exiles and gives him to be watched over by Gedaliah ben Achikam. The perek ends with a promise that Yirmiyahu made to the Cushi servant of the king that he would survive and not be harmed by his enemies. One lesson we can learn from this perek is the contrast of what happens to those who believe in Hashem and those who do not. Tzidkiyahu and officers who lived during his time always assumed they could rely on their own ingenuity and that they would be able to escape via their engineering feat of that tunnel. But Hashem is the one who decides all, and they were captured and killed. The Cushi risked his life and went against the most powerful people of the time, and he was the one who was saved. In our lives, we need to think, what are our tunnels? What are we relying on that will always be there so that we think will always be there, so we don't feel that we need to devote ourselves 100% to Hashem? We have something that we can use to hedge our bets. Do we feel there is an out that we have made for ourselves, whether it is our money, our connections, or our own ingenuity? Those things will not help us if Hashem does not want them to. The Cushi did what is right, and his reward gave him more than he could have imagined. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.